There you go.
First, let me start by saying I do not have any handouts. I do not. I will probably be all over the place. And I am my mother's daughter, but I am not my mother. And this is my mother's Bible. Song of Solomon.
Yes.
You ladies know her well.
Mm-hmm. All right. 18 months.
Yeah, part of her Bible. I mean, this is part of her Bible. Mm-hmm. My Bible is intact. Hopefully it won't be
so
always.
Far.
But it is. So I just want to share that whatever I do is Patsy Baker, not Mariana Baker.
Okay.
But I just say it, you know, it's hard to follow. It's like following the best comedian. You know, you're like, oh, Lord. I'm But anyway, so I don't honestly have a direction. I think I'm much like Judy. I want to share my testimony, some of it, of what the Lord has given or helped me have an exchange life. And I was sharing with Judy one day. We were at church, and they're talking about the bridegroom and stuff, and I also go to the Bible study with Ed, and I was telling Judy I wasn't sure if I should share or not, and Ed spoke about the bridegroom. I'm like, and she looked at me, I'm like, really? Because I'm like looking for a sign of should I share or not. So again, I am not as organized, and I find myself all over the place because I read something, and then I back up and I'm like, wait, what does that mean? Why did you say that? You know, and then I don't know the things like the Greenlee girls, they're not the Greenlee, but Kathy and Carrie do. You know, I just don't know the things. I'm learning. I love learning. I think it's wonderful. It's been great. I never went to a Bible study until I started dating Pete. My mother, I've never heard my mother speak, which I find amazing now that I know how good she was. I can't believe I never went. But that being said, I'm going to do what I can do.
Do it. Yeah.
Okay. And the first verse I want to share with you is in John 3, 29. And it says, he who has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the groom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. And so this joy of mine has been made full. He must increase and I must decrease. And when I read this verse, I'm thinking about the men of our church. How do they feel about being a bride? How does a man feel about being a bride? Because, you know, we as ladies, that's one of the things you think you always want to be. I mean, once you find out, you know, you're wondering, like, well, that's good or not. But you're always preparing yourself. You're always want to look your best. You're always, you know, let's do this. You know, you're always preparing. And I'm wondering, I asked Pete, I said, Pete, how do you feel about being a bride? He said, what are you talking about? And I said, you know, it says that, you know, the bridegroom is Jesus. So the men are also brides, but the word groom is actually the male version of bride. It's the same thing. It's just another version of bride. But so to me, I was like wondering how the men, because it's easy for us, I think, or easier to submit to the love of the Lord because we want it and we welcome it and we, you know, we want to be taken care of, where the men are like, what, that they're taking care of us, and you know, but they are also the bride, you know, they are also a bride, the bride of the Lord, and the and it's, and you know, it's not about are you the bride, are you the groom, it's about the picture of the relationship that you have with the Lord, and it's a one on one, and once Jesus enters you as the relationship, as this verse says, you must decrease and he must increase. And when you're in that relationship, it's one-on-one. I remember years ago, I was getting divorced. Anyway, Betty Lou Timmons was my mother's best friend. And we all went to a prayer breakfast in Lewis, Delaware. And she handed me, I had a little red Bible with a little name on it. And she took it and wrote on it, and I cannot find it. And she said, the Lord asked me to share this with you. And I don't remember the scripture, but I remember it was Jesus saying, I want a personal relationship with you. And I, at the time, very young, am like, well, you gonna have a personal relationship with me. You can't touch me. I need the physical feeling. Relationships to me were about touching and feeling and love too, but also that part. I'm like, Jesus, you can't do that. I can't see you. And so I never engaged in that part of the personal relationship. So as I have grown up and grown closer to the Lord, none of that mattered. None of that physical stuff mattered anymore. All of a sudden, I'm like, wait a minute, I'm not, you know, I mean, you're living without certain things, and but you don't care, because it's not about that, because you have the Lord is in you, and you're building that personal relationship. And in the Bible, the bridegroom is mentioned 20 times in the King James Version, and it starts in Genesis. In Genesis 2:24, it says that, well, it doesn't call you bridegroom, but it says that you two will be joined together and become one flesh. And you can't, like, wrap your mind around it when you get married. Like, I just got married, I'm sure none of you know. I just got married last summer, and what an experience. But, you know, we struggle with that, becoming one flesh, but you're one spirit. You're one, you know, you're one belief, you're one, you know, you're one in how you feel about the Lord and how you feel about things in life. Not always, but most of the time. And so it starts in Genesis in the Bible about this relationship, and it never stops. The second or third to the last verse of the Bible in Revelation talks about the bride. And that the spirit and the bride will come together, and you will be. And so it's always about that, no matter what I read or whenever I read about the scriptures, I always read about that it's about love. And it's the groom's job is to love like Christ loves the church. But we're not, but that's how Jesus loves us. Like, he loves us and our husbands that way, or men of our church, or the men that are Christians, you know. So, you know, to me, I was like, why can you be a bride? But, you know, to me, when you're a bride, you're always thinking about, what can you do better? What can you be better? You know, how can you be better? So, to me, that's how I think it is. So, anyway, years ago, when Betty Lou told me to read that, and I never did anything with it for 100 years, well, 40. So we are in Ocean City, okay? It is April the 20th. Some of you may know what day that is. 4/20 is National Smokeout Day, Weed Day, whatever you want to call it day. And I know some of you older ladies may not know it. But 40 years ago, me in Ocean City on this day, would not be here. I would not have been here. I would not be here. But when I was out in the world doing what I felt I wanted to do, he was always with me. Constantly. Like, I would be wherever I was in the middle of something, and I'd be singing a hymn or doing something, and I'm like, why are you here? You know, why are you here? I'm not seeking you. You know, but if you're in that relationship, and I got it when I was younger, you know, when Daddy was in Bible school, it never goes away. He never leaves you. He takes you. You take him where you go. He might not want to be there, but he's there, and he's not going to leave you there, you know. And that, and some of you ladies, you know, probably, I don't know. I had this outfit upstairs I was going to wear and put it on, because that's what us bakers do. We have to do the visual. And I didn't do it because I wanted, you know, it's the transformation is obvious when people see me. And I mean, I don't very have to say much. And people that have known me years ago, will go, wow, you've really changed a lot. You don't even hardly have to say anything. You know, it's just the way that, you know, the Lord has exchanged my life. You know, and it's all through this kind of stuff. You know, staying close and reading the Word and sharing. And the more that I read and study, the more that I want to read and study. It's amazing. We were up doing Bible study at Joyce's on, we're doing Genesis. We've been in Genesis for a month. We're on chapter 3. Hello. Like, I thought we knew all this stuff. You don't. You know, you don't know it. You know, and even in the second verse of, or the first chapter, it talks about Jesus in there. Because some people think that that, you know, is not relevant about the Old Testament is not. But I disagree totally. Let me see here. Okay. Now, I am also a music person. I love music, touches me when we sing a lot. The greatest of faithfulness, I weep every time. It's like I've never heard it. But years ago, about 15 years ago, maybe 10, I was in a relationship with a person that I really loved. And don't really know that I believe that they loved me the same way, but I loved them and I thought that was enough. That I could love them into whatever. I don't know what I thought. But anyway, a song came out by Tanya Manning, Take Me to the King. And we, me and this person, fella, were breaking up. And the song was Take Me to the King. I don't have much to give. My heart is torn to pieces, but it's my offering. And I started, and I was a mentor, I was a foster parent, and the mentor guy was named Lou, his name was Mr. Lewis, and he was a black minister, and I said, Mr. Lewis, have you heard that song? Have you heard that song? It was popular on the radio. It was on secular radio. And he said, yeah, I've heard it, I heard it. And I said, man, that's so me, because my heart was torn to pieces. And every time it came on the radio, I would cry. I could barely drive my car. And I'm like, it says, lay me at the throne. Leave me there alone. And I heard it the other day. And I was like, thank you. I cry, but not for the same reason. And I'm like, thank you, Lord. And it's like, you don't think you're ever going to get through that. At that moment, you really don't think that it's going to be there. And then when I heard the song, I was talking to my sister-in-law and texting, we're doing something. And I said, Kathy, you got to listen to the song, because she was having a little bit of a rough day. And she called me, oh, Patty, you know. But it's so true. It's like you're in this space, and the Lord is with you in that space. But he's also with me in this space. And this is a much better space. Because you can share it and people know that it's true. And when I read things, like when I read the Word, I'm not a good studier. And I learn really well by listening and watching people and, you know, things like that. And then I'll look it up. But then I was telling Judy, I think, and Kendra, I'm reading Ezekiel the other day. I'm like, what? What is this? Why can't I had to quit reading it. I didn't understand it. I said, Lord, you certainly don't want me to talk about that stuff. I had no clue what none of any of that. So our next Bible study, we're going to be studying Ezekiel. but I'm just saying, you know.
I was going to say, read your going. It's going to be a while.
But it's so prevalent that he puts things in your face. If you will listen, if you will look, if you look in the right direction, you know, and those kind of things. And so anyway, this friend of mine that he's now my friend, a very good friend, and I'm doing Take Me to the King, and I'm crying, and I'm like, oh, my heart's torn to pieces. I'm never going to, well, okay, so for some reason, at least my family thinks I should move over to Georgetown. I've been living in Salisbury by myself. So I go traipsing over there and move back there with Ricky and Kathy. And it was in 2019. And since I've been there, I've lost my mom.
my dad, my brother. And I never ever thought about being married again. I didn't care. I wasn't unhappy. I loved being single. I liked doing whatever I wanted to do whenever I wanted to do it. I loved it. And then here, the Lord gives me Pete. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do with this? You know what I mean? I'm like, I can't even talk. I couldn't, you know, I couldn't think about it. And the whole time that I'm in sin and doing what I want to do and being disobedient, the Lord is constantly loving me. Mm-hmm. He's constantly being my bridegroom. He's constantly there in one form or another. And then when Pete and I started talking, I'm like, come on, Lord, this is, we're not doing this. Are we doing this? You know, and it's funny, not funny, haha, but funny, strange, that most of the people in my life before were not men of the Lord. That, is something wrong?
Oh, no, we're just going to get you cleaned up.
Oh, that's okay. That why Pete? Do you know how straight Pete is? Like, he's like straight as, he has no bendy, you know, he's, I can't explain it. And it's so, like the Lord, when Ricky got sick, that's when the scriptures and stuff, and like Ricky would share, like, the be still and know I'm God, and he wouldn't be still. And so, and I kept saying, why are you doing this, Lord? And to draw you closer to me. The Lord wants us in, he wants to be in us so close that it's truly a personal relationship. It's truly talking about talking to him. I talk to him on my way to work and, you know, and whenever I can, I do a lot in the morning at work by myself, and I, you know, that's when I sort of have my time with the Lord. But anyway, so I lose my brother when my brother got sick. You know, I'm like, Lord, why? What are you doing? What are you doing? And he's like, I need you closer. I need you closer to me. And so all of those things in my, in your mind, you say they're taken. They're not taken. They're transformed into another, for another time, for another dimension of life. And then I have Pete, and it's like, it's of the Lord, it's about the Lord, it's for the Lord, it's all that, those kind of things. And I didn't share that with you to tell you about my wonderful husband. I just think that if you were open and you listen to the Lord and you're seeking a personal relationship with the Lord, what does Psalms 37:4 say? Delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And to me, I didn't have that desire, but my goodness, how could I live without it? You know what I mean? And it's like, you don't even know what the Lord's will is, but if you would live in it, you'll be amazed as what, you know, what the Lord can do for you. And it's always in here. It's always in the Bible. And I just can't explain that, like, where I would be, like I was telling Kathy, well, I would have been down here in Ocean City and been tickled to death. I got a house at the beach. There would have probably been this many people here, but we wouldn't have been talking about the Lord. But anyway, that, you know, it's just, that is the transformed life. That is the exchange life. And that is what it's all about. And it's all about your personal relationship. Mine is growing. Mine, I hope to be where some of our ladies are someday. But in the meantime, I'm still learning and you know, just praising the Lord for saving me and keeping me and giving me people like you girls around me in my life, all of you.
all of you ladies are very influential to me and very much, you know, about the Lord. And if I go to any of you, you always tell me, what's the Lord telling you? What do you think? You know, like, what are you reading? And usually there'll be a scripture, like Ed's ministering is so on point sometimes when you go there on Wednesdays. I just leave going, I gotta go back to work. Come on. You know, I wanna stay there all day long and just be fed. You know, you're just fed. And he talked about, like Judy said, about the Lord is on the mountain. And he's there. Like when I was down here, when I was doing my work, he's on the mountain watching. But I have to, you know, if you need him, call him. He'll come all on the boat. Mm-hmm. He don't want to. He wants you to trust him. And he wants you to have enough faith. And he wants you to have enough belief to know that, I got you. I'm out here. Mm-hmm. I don't have to come on the boat. Yeah, I don't have to come on the boat. But if you need me, I'll come on the boat. Mm-hmm. You know, but I'm trying to show you that you don't need me on the boat. You know, you need, you know, if you walk with me, you know, I'm here. I got you. And I just can't be thankful enough for all the things that the life is, you know, my life has been. Like, I've been a foster mother, and I didn't take my boys to church. I so regret that. No. So regret it. They knew I loved the Lord, and they knew I had certain standards, but they weren't where they should have been. You know what I mean, in my personal opinion. But, and you talked this morning about the Lord's time and the message you waited, you know, for the, when I was selling real estate, there was a guy there that was going to church, and he got filled with the Holy Spirit, and he came to work the next day, and I went, Herb, what's going on? He said, what? I said, something's different about you. And he had gotten filled with the Holy Spirit, you know. And he said, how do you know it? And I said, oh, you're different, man. You're different. And he shared a message with me about the prodigal son coming home. But the message wasn't about that. It was about something else. But when I listened to it, it was about going home. Mm-hmm. It was about being welcomed when you got home. Mm-hmm. It was about, and that was all in the Lord's time. And when I shared with him about what I thought I heard, he said, I never heard that part. Because it wasn't for him. Mm-hmm. It was for me. And that's what the personal relationship is. It's all about what the Lord, don't miss what God has for you. Because it's different for every one of us. That's what Heidi said. But some of the last things Heidi, Pete's daughter, wrote was, don't miss what God has for you. Let me see if I need to share anything else. I think that's about it. I'm not very long. That's all I have to share.
That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Yeah. That is.